This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Monday, February 8th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for the Wall Street Journal. As consumers continue to fill up their online shopping carts instead of heading out to stores in the pandemic, Amazon has been one of the biggest beneficiaries. But to fill all those orders, the company depends on warehouse workers all over the world. And today, thousands of those workers are set to begin voting on whether to unionize. Coming up, we'll talk to our reporter Sebastian Herrera about what the vote could mean for the workers and for the company. That's after these headlines. On Friday's show, we talked about how higher demand for semiconductors is contributing to a global chip shortage. Now, China's largest maker of chips, SMIC, says it's not able to help meet the demand after the Trump administration put it on a U.S. export blacklist last year. In an earnings report released on Friday, the company said it expected to see its revenue growth slow down significantly in the coming year, while other chip companies are seeing rapid growth. SMIC is one of China's biggest players in semiconductors, an area where China is investing heavily to try and become self-sufficient. U.S. officials have targeted the state-backed company because of alleged links to the Chinese military, which the company has denied. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is looking into Venmo, the digital money transfer service operated by PayPal. The CFPB is probing how Venmo treats customers that it says owe it money for transactions that went awry. The news comes after the Wall Street Journal reported that Venmo had threatened to dispatch debt collectors on users who overdrew their accounts, even when those users were the victims of scams. PayPal says it's cooperating with regulators. All right, coming up after the break, workers in an Amazon warehouse in Alabama are voting on whether to unionize. We'll have more on that next.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Thousands of workers at an Amazon warehouse in the city of Bessemer, Alabama, are set to begin voting today on whether to unionize. There's been a lot of back and forth leading up to this. Amazon was pushing for in-person voting, but organizers wanted a vote by mail. And last week, federal labor authorities sided with organizers, and mail-in voting will take place over the month to come. Hourly Amazon workers have never formed or joined a union in the U.S. before. And if the measure passes, it could reshape the company's relationship with those workers. So for more on the unionization effort, we turn to our reporter Sebastian Herrera. He's been looking into this. Hey, Sebastian, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with the basics here. Who is behind this push to unionize, and what exactly are they pushing for?
So it's this union based in New York called the Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union. They're trying to organize these workers in Alabama and have them vote in favor of a union to join their union. And this union has in the past, you know, been critical of Amazon, and they've tried other unionization efforts with Amazon workers that haven't been successful. Essentially, what they take issue with is just the high pace of work. They have to, you know, box or move items, you know, every few seconds for, you know, 10 hours a day, and they're closely monitored. There's an internal system that basically tracks their every scan that they do and measures every second that they're working. And they have to make certain rates per hour. You know, there's also cameras everywhere in these warehouses. And I think for a lot of these workers, it just can get tiring really fast. And what's happened with Amazon is that I think a lot of workers see just those type of conditions, and they contrast it with how successful Amazon is, how much money it makes. You know, a lot of people bring up like Jeff Bezos being one of the richest people in the world. And so they kind of take issue with the kind of wide contrast of their experiences versus how the company is doing.
And is it significant that this effort is taking place now on the back of a really profitable year for Amazon?
Yeah, I think a lot of different things kind of came together. On one end, you have the pandemic, which pushed a lot of workers, including at Amazon warehouses, to more openly discuss just their working conditions and try to explain to kind of to the public how their work is. And Amazon workers have complained for a number of years about the pace of work and how just how grueling it is. And the pandemic, I think, just put a brighter spotlight on all of these workers that are essential workers and how their experiences are like. And with this particular warehouse in Bessemer, what we found out is that some of these workers participated in the Black Lives Matter movement in the past year and tied to that. And they reached out to this union because they were just kind of tired of dealing with, again, with the kind of grueling nature of their work. And then I think just a heightened kind of political climate.
And how is Amazon responding to all this?
Well, Amazon's known to be, you know, throughout the years, push back against union efforts. They've done so pretty much any time in the past that it's come up. You know, they've been known to, in the past, you know, show videos to their managers to kind of spot organizing efforts. And there's quite a bit of history there. And with this particular push, you know, they've hired a law firm that really specializes in kind of, I guess, countering union efforts. And in terms of what they're doing actually at the warehouse, you know, they're holding regular meetings with their employees that basically is meant to kind of discourage them from voting yes on this. And, you know, they've sent extra people to the warehouse to kind of talk to employees, you know, about the effort and ask them if, you know, if they need anything. You know, I think even they've posted signs around the warehouse in terms of what union would mean. And they've also even set up a website that, again, basically communicates if you vote yes, you have to pay union dues and you already get, you know, healthcare benefits and other type of benefits through our employment. So why would you want to pay union dues for that? So that's kind of the message that they're sending to these workers.
Right. And of course, along those lines, we should note here that an Amazon spokeswoman said the company doesn't believe that RWDSU represents the majority of employees' views and that Amazon offers some of the best jobs available anywhere they hire. Sebastian, can you just lay out the stakes of this vote for both sides? Why is this so significant?
Sure. I think on the worker side and the union side, I think a lot of effort from the union is put into these type of votes, resources, sending people. For workers, at least the ones that support this effort, I think they see it as a chance to have more equal terms with Amazon, potentially be at the bargaining table together and figure out things like pay together and hours and all sorts of things that you can figure out when you have a union, and just have more of that power shift a bit to them. And for Amazon, you know, it's significant because, you know, right now, none of their warehouses, and they have more than 800 of them, have a union representation. And Amazon is basically able to set its own terms with its workers, you know, without having any kind of pushback in terms of a contract that would happen if there, you know, if there was a union. So I think, you know, for the company, it's a union would represent, potentially cost them more. That's the kind of battle you see taking place.
So, like we said, ballots are going out today. The election is starting today. What happens next? How does this all go forward?
So the election is set. Workers have until the end of March to return their votes, and they're going to count the votes, that week. And you know, if it passes, then that's a significant milestone. And what we're going to see afterward is almost like a, you know, part two of the battle, which is getting to a union contract. And companies kind of have different leeways and methods that they can use to kind of delay that process. So it can take sometimes, you know, months, years to get to that first contract. And then, of course, if it's voted down, it's one of those situations where the union goes, you know, goes back and the workers just kind of, you know, keep doing their thing. And we probably won't see another effort like this at an Amazon warehouse for at least, a little while.
All right. That's our reporter, Sebastian Herrera. Thanks, Sebastian.
Thank you.
That's it for today's Tech News Briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.